I'm from Pacific Institute for Research and Evaluation, and while it's loading up, I have no disclosures to make, so we can get right into it. Okay, great. Just sort of jump back real quick here and just to add that I'm new here to working on social host laws, not on alcohol research, but am building on work that was done by Jim Mosier and Stacy Syed at the Center for the Study of Law Enforcement and Policy, which is a center of PIER down in Felton. And so what I'm here today to talk about is underage social host laws. So going back to the issue of underage drinking, which obviously public health people don't need to get into that, but many of you may not know what a social host law is, so I'd like to briefly describe that. And you'd say, well, with underage drinking, isn't it already illegal? And yes, it is. However, oftentimes we don't have the right tools to hold people responsible. Law enforcement, when they show up at a party, and parties are at houses or generally where underage drinking is occurring, they'll show up and they don't have any way of necessarily holding anyone responsible. They cannot, you know, there may be a law saying that it's illegal to buy alcohol for minors or to, you know, for minors to buy alcohol themselves, but it's very difficult for them in a short period of time while on the scene of a party to figure out, you know, where the alcohol came from. So underage social host laws aim to apply or hold the property owner liable or the person that threw the party liable. And so that's what social host liability is. It occurs at three levels it can occur at. It can be at the state level. It can also start to evolve through various court rulings, and mainly what I'm looking at and have been working on is at the city and county local level, since largely it's, you know, continually being shown that, you know, community involvement really is a key to getting underage drinking, you know, to really sort of start to work on making it not such an issue or to reduce it. Here's a map of the seven states that currently have state level underage social host laws. They're up there in pink. So really, though, I'd like to shift into talking about local levels, the community ones. The key components to the law, there'll be some sort of issue, something specifically stating that it applies to underage persons. And then that there'll be sometimes, but not always, an issue about knowledge, how much the person that threw the party knew about it. So how much did the parent know? Did they know at all? It may be left out. I'd also actually like to quickly say that social host laws have been around for over a decade, but it's really only been in the last few years that they've started to be more regularly implemented and grown, you know, very quickly. So that's why when I say, you know, some of these that, you know, knowledge requirement may or may not be in there, it's because the law's evolving. And it'll also be applied to possibly different range of property types. You know, it may be a personal, at a house or, you know, a property that you own, and that can be written into the law. Finally, there'll be some penalty component, whether it be a criminal or a civil. And in civil, you may have a fine as well as a response cost, meaning that if law enforcement is called out to the house repeated time, that you may then fine the person for that cost that's in results from the police continually coming out. Let's keep pointing the wrong way. If you would like more information about social host laws, I'd like to move on beyond that. But back a few years ago, CSLEP did with Ventura County a model ordinance, which can be found at venturacountylimits.org, and you can read more about how to do that. So currently, though, there's at least 185 communities in 23 states with underage social host ordinances in effect. And when I say over 185, it's not entirely known how many there are. I mean, a lot of this research is done via looking at what's out there, public resources, via the internet, what people are saying, and getting responses to questions about do we have an underage law, and then going and looking to see if they do or not. And it isn't, it's one of those things that, you know, it's just as important as having the law in the books is making it known that you have such an ordinance in effect. And generally what happens is that one community will adopt a social host law, and then the surrounding communities will also continue to add them. Here's a couple examples of what has been shown in the last 2 years. States that didn't have any local laws and now have, you know, several, or in the case of Marin County, which the county had one and several of the cities did, but now everyone does. And while we don't have specific research showing, you know, the effectiveness of this, we're starting, the thought would be, and hopefully we'll be able to get more research and start to see some correlation that obviously that if you have, the thinking being that if you have an entire county and all the cities that have these laws in effect, that it makes it difficult for underage persons to find a place to go and drink. And so, as I said, you know, we don't have much data. These ordinances are just starting to really get moving. And in 2006, Marin County, which previously had cited, established theirs. Since then, they've enforced it 14 times. This was a report that came out, I believe, earlier 2008. They use a civil law, or theirs is a civil penalty. An example of a city which has a criminal penalty, meaning that you possibly could incarcerate somebody for violating the ordinance, is the city of Edmond, Oklahoma, which in 2007 established its ordinance, and since then has made 16 arrests, though I don't have any information as to whether there was any prosecution regarding those 16. I see a thumbs up. So, and I mean, from there, the question is, are they working? And really, this is at this point anecdotal, but it's showing where the reports are that people are seeing a deterrent effect. Whether that is actually a correlation, I'm not a social scientist, I'm a lawyer, so that's a separate issue for me. But the anecdotal evidence is also that it's changing how parties are operating, that in the case of Edmonton, all of a sudden my brain's, that parties were previously thrown at houses and parents would be there, and now the police chief is reporting that underage people are renting out spaces and throwing a party, but a lot of times then the underage people at the party showed a false ID to get in. So there's something occurring. And in the case of Marin County, what had happened is that most of the time these parties were being thrown at residences at which the parents weren't there, that the parents were either out of town or the person was house sitting, and rather than it being that parents were allowing this to occur in their house, whether obviously it goes again to the issue of how much did they know, but it's sort of shifting the dialogue, the usual thing of that I was young, I drank, I want to make sure my kids are safe, so therefore I'm going to allow them to drink in my house, that this shifts that dialogue to look, underage drinking is an issue that the community needs to address. And this is both a tool for law enforcement, but also through public outreach, you can then go ahead and make the community also, you know, discuss this as an issue. There's many different ways the law can be applied, and this is where research really would be good to get, and hopefully we'll be doing some, at least in California, but definitely throughout the country it would be good to know what sort of law, you know, what considerations of the should go into making the law. Like I said, you can have various ways to define knowledge. Will you have it be that the parent definitely knew, that they, you know, should have known? Also, you could change how gathering is defined. Is it going to be just two people, three people? What's most effective, but also what's useful for the community? And then again, you could always opt not to have the parents be held responsible, where you could just hold the person that threw the party responsible. So you could, if it was an underage their child, or, I mean, oftentimes also in college towns that it's underage people that rent the property. So there wouldn't, may not be a parent involved at all. Other considerations are exceptions that you may want to, that may be needed to be included to assuage fear people may have regarding these sort of laws, such as, you know, that you may accept out family gatherings, religious observances, and also is very important is self-reporting issues, that you don't want to have emergencies occurring and then people not calling for either the help of law enforcement in the case of an out-of-control party or in the case of alcohol poisoning, that you may want to accept out, you know, emergencies, those sort of emergency response. And then finally, you move into the issue of penalties, and there's many different, you know, of those 185 communities that have been tracked, they vary with what sort of penalty they use. There's both pros and cons to using a criminal penalty. Obviously, it's, you know, much more severe in a wealthier community. Possibly a civil fine may not have be as weighty. But at the same time, you don't necessarily want to be using, as I've, you know, continually heard, you know, you don't want to use the nuclear option to kill a fly. So a fine may be better. And there's different standards of what needs to be proven and what is going to occur. Is it going to go through the court system? Is it going to go through an administrative system? And so it's, you know, at this point, it's difficult to say which is best. I mean, you could also, which we haven't seen much of, is a tiered response, being that applying fines at the beginning with then possible incarceration for repeat offenders. But then again, it's, you know, it's been such a short period of time that really these have been in place that it's difficult to say what will work best. I'll just go back real quick to that, I'll move on. So, but really, in the end, this is an area of law that is rapidly developing and really needs some research to help guide what would be the best solution to the problem, and or to help reduce underage drinking. So thank you very much.
Can we get another round of applause for all the presenters? Okay, we have a significant amount of time because some of the videos didn't work. To take questions. And I want to just get by a show of hands how many questions we might have. Very few or none. Okay. So let me tell you why I'm the moderator. For 10 years, I was a national program officer for the Reducing Underage Drinking Coalitions in the country. And so, I hate this mic. So let me just comment a little bit on where things have come since we started those coalitions. When those coalitions were started, there was only one community in the country that we could find that had a social host law. CSAP was barely talking about underage drinking, maybe classroom work, but not town hall meetings. And the Surgeon General's report on underage drinking was sitting buried, and we couldn't get it to be released. And the Institute of Medicine report was a thought and not an actual document with political solutions. So if you go back to the beginning of the 90s and you come forward to 2008, you can see that this progress has been made, although not substantial progress. And I'll just leave this quote. I live on the North Shore of Chicago, where sizable income exists, where we have fought for social host laws. And I'll just take you through three scenarios, some of which made the national news. You may have seen about 6 years ago a party in a forest preserve where the high school boys videotaped the high school girls getting wasted. And the reason the videotape was there was because the year before the girls got naked. So the guys thought they were going to have naked videos. Unfortunately, in the second year, the hazing was for the girls to eat feces. And that became was on the national news. And the local police departments had no ordinances about this, but the county, because it was on county property, arrested all the young people that they found and charged them criminally with destruction of public property. Not the attacks, because they figured the kids wouldn't prosecute each other. And myself and one of the other folks who live nearby read the article, and we circled the quote of one of the mothers. And I sent it to all the police chiefs in the community. I said, she provided the booze. And one of the police chiefs called me and said, how do you know? I said, well, why would she defend her daughter being basically tortured if she didn't provide the booze? And it turned out what she did to get around a keg registration law that we had passed was go two communities north to buy the kegs for these people to throw a party. Fast forward, you go to last 18 months ago in a neighboring community, underage drinking party. The police are called. The father and mother are arrested and charged with conspiracy to commit murder because three of the people who left the party died in a car crash. They crashed into a tree at the base of the driveway of this house. The father's testimony was he kept going downstairs and didn't see any drinking going on in his house. The police found 1,400 cans of beer thrown into the woods behind the house. 1,400. But the father saw no drinking. The father was given a 2-year sentence suspended. The mother was given a 1-year sentence suspended. The son, who invited all these young people over, had the choice of going to jail or testifying against his parents. That's the difference on the North Shore. Now, fast forward again to this year. Same community for graduation party. Young people rent a limo. They stop at a house to pick up booze. The limo driver called the police because he did not want to get prosecuted because of what happened to the parents. So unfortunately, the anecdotal research says civil fines don't work in wealthy communities. The parents are happy to write the $50, $100, $200. So that's just what I know from having played in these communities trying to get these ordinance passed at the local level. Hoping that we'll steer. No questions? No questions for the gentleman who did the one talk on drugs? No questions for SAMHSA on what are their next steps? Could you identify yourself?
I'm an FDR consultant.
Okay.